Yo, welcome to Beast Podcast. And if you don't know, Beast stands for bringing empowerment and skills together. And that's exactly what we strive to do on this show. We talk life skills, we talk financial literacy, we talk personal development. All these things are going to help you be a better you. So stay tuned and enjoy the show. Yo, yo, yiggity, yo. Welcome back to the Beast Podcast. Your host, Deshaun Beasley. On today's show, special episode, I got my cousin on the podcast, Naisha Livingston, talking about her entrepreneurial endeavor and talking about her entrepreneurial endeavor and how she got started and how she basically turned, I don't even want to say a hobby, but, you know, something that she did on a daily into a business and how she's, you know, developing her business acumen, you know, continuing to learn, you know, once again, from her experience. Notice a common theme from a lot of these interviews, right? Learning from their experiences and continuing to adapt and change and so on and so forth. So hopefully y'all enjoy the show. This is the first time we've connected in a pretty long time. So yeah.
Yo.
Hey.
Okay, we live. Is it your first time on a podcast?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well don't be nervous. It's just a conversation, just a phone call, nothing too crazy. But yeah, go ahead and introduce yourself and then just give three things you're grateful for.
My name is Naisha Livingston. Three things I'm grateful for would be my kids. My business, and I would say my talents, I guess, because without my talents, I wouldn't have a business.
Amen. Well, let's actually dive right into it. You know, your business and your talent. When, at what age did you discover this talent? I mean, I know, like, in our family, for those who are listening, Naisha is actually my cousin. But I know in our family, like, we've always done hair and done things like that. But, like, when did you really realize, like, yo, I'm good at this?
Yeah, so I think I would start doing my own hair in my teenage years, and then people would ask me to do theirs. And then when I had my children, it was like, okay, you know, save a little money. I started teaching myself how to braid and doing their hair and my hair, and then it just kind of became a thing. People would always ask me if I could do their hair, and it just kind of, you know, evolved from there.
Okay, and then where are you currently in that endeavor? Like, how did you, you know, do you have an office space? Are you operating? Talk to me about, like, that process. Like, I'm sure when you started, like, braiding people's hair initially, it was probably like you going to somebody's crib or somebody's coming to your crib. And I'm sure you didn't have, like, policies and procedures or anything. It was just kind of like I got you. Like, I can do this. Like, throw me some bread. Like, when did you actually start to, I guess, transition, like, into, like, a business and, like, having your own place or whatever?
You know, it's so crazy. So, yeah. So at first I was doing it at home. I would do it at home mostly. Oh, okay. So, yeah, the pandemic hit and my house got sold that I was renting. Mm. So I became homeless. I would, you know, stay in hotels or at a family member's house or rent Airbnbs, stuff like that. And so people didn't even know that I was homeless. I was coming to people's houses for the most part because, you know, I didn't have anywhere to do hair because that was my job. That was my livelihood. So if I had to travel, that was what I had to do. So I did that for a few months until I finally found the place. And then once I moved, I continued to do hair at my new place. And then I would say, like, I had, like, my braiding license and everything, but, like, I didn't have, like, my LLC. I didn't have everything in place because at that point it was just something I was doing to make money. Like, it wasn't official. And as I start to see, like, things are getting a little more serious, I decided to, you know, I was like, okay, let me get things a little more together. Let me get a name, a brand, and kind of, you know, take things to another level. And it's so funny because I feel like when I'm in, like when I'm usually in bad positions, that's when I'm like sat down, I like to do the most. Cause mm-hmm. I'll like procrastinate and something, unless something pushes me to be like, okay. So I actually had a surgery, an emergency surgery that made me be immobile for about 2 months. And mm-hmm. that's what, like in my bed, like I'm not used to sitting still. So while I was in bed, that's when I like got everything official. Like I got my LLC, you know, I registered with the state. I start looking for places like suites and salons so that I could do hair. So like I've pretty much established everything like during the pandemic and during like all these hardships. This is when I, you know, got everything done. And so far it's been working well.
I want to kind of rewind back to that too, because it's interesting. I feel like there comes a point, I feel like everybody's life, where like when we're at one of our, I don't want to say one of our lower moments, but at a low point in life, that's when we really find out like about ourselves. And it sounds like in your story, and this is news to me because I didn't even know all of this was going on, but you mean you go from being homeless, I mean, it's not like you're homeless by yourself, like you're homeless like with kids. So you got other people you got to, you know what I mean, keep in mind throughout this whole thing, still grinding, and then you're immobile because of the surgery. And then you're like, all right, well, if I'm immobile, I might as well be mobile while I'm being immobile. I might as well be productive. Right. So can you talk to me about, because I'm sure that there's times in your business right now where like if you're working, like you're obviously not taking time to think about other things. So like, what do you do currently to slow yourself down to kind of see kind of, I want to say like where you're going, like your direction is, I think of it like as a navigator. Like if I, you know, if I'm driving a car, right? If I'm only driving the car and I'm not looking at the GPS, at some point I'm going to miss a turn or at one point. And like us as humans, like when we're grinding, like it's so easy to grind, which is like that driving part, but it's hard for us to stop and look at the map. So what do you do currently to like kind of slow yourself down to see like the scope at which like you're doing things and how it's affecting you?
You know what? And that's still a learning process for me. There's times where, you know, I don't see, like you said, that you're driven by that motor and you're in your head. It's just like, okay, I got to do more. I got to, you know, reach this goal, or I got to excel. And I think for me, it usually doesn't hit, like I'll be working hard and doing like absolutely everything that I can think that I need to do and still not yet feel fulfilled, like still feel like I'm missing something. So then sometimes I'll kind of stop, and I noticed I had to start stop and tell them, so like, okay, so like, where am I going with this? Like, is my goal just to do hair for the rest of my life? Like just asking myself, like, where do I see myself going? Like, what am I trying to do? Like, do I want to get rich doing this? You know, is this just a stepping stone? So sometimes I don't stop, you know, sometimes outside forces usually push the pause button on and say, hey, you need to kind of stop and think or go over some things. Like, you're doing good, but even when you're doing good, you still have to kind of stop and think and, you know, plan and go over things, make sure everything's on, you know, the right track, or, you know, keep yourself focused, because it is easy to just like, you know, just be like a motor and just go with no end in sight. You know, you gotta kind of stop and like remind yourself like what your goals are. And like you said, sometimes like take time for yourself if you can, and kind of just, you know, refocus and make sure you're still on the same track and that your goals are still the same.
Yeah, amen. I bet. Yeah, I want to kind of transition now and to talk about some of the habits, because you're a business owner, you have kids, you're a mother. Like, what are some of the things that you do like on a daily basis to like fill your own cup? Because I'm sure when you wake up, you got kids hungry, got to get them ready for school or, you know, wherever they got to go. And then I'm sure you got appointments, people trying to reschedule. It's like, and if you don't manage it, it's probably like hectic. So like, what are some things that you do? Maybe even some systems that you put in place to kind of like build some habits so you can have a business, but also have a life.
Yes. So, like I said, everything is still a learning process for me. That's something that I still, you know, struggle with because I am a hard worker. So sometimes I'm just work, work, work. So I started telling myself, like, you know, even God rested on the seventh day, you know, like I got to have some days where I'm like resting and recuperating because I'll work 7 days a week. You know, just because I'm like, okay, I know I got to do this, you know, like I'm in grind mode.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to tell myself, like, if I don't give myself that time, you know, your body will tell you, like, hey, your body will shut you down or sit you down. Some days, you know, more than other, like I said, I'm still working on that, trying to make sure I'm making time for myself or doing things for myself. But I just tell myself that, you know, right now, you know, I might be tired or, you know, I might, you know, not have had an off day, but I just continue something. My goal is bigger than, you know, anything else, like any of my trials or tribulation. Like my goal is to, you know, get a house and to take my brand and build it and establish other business. So I always tell myself, like, you know, it's just temporarily, like, you know, kind of buckle down. And if I work hard now and, you know, use my time and put it into these goals, you know, then I can rest easy a little later. I guess I just was reminding myself, because I think sometimes it's like you get up and you work every day and you work, 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 work. And sometimes it feels like you're not really getting anywhere, even though you're working hard. Like you could be working as hard as you can 7 days a week. And sometimes you still feel like not fulfilled. You still don't feel like you're really going anywhere. And sometimes, you know, you'll have a goal and it just seems like it's just too far off or not tangible. And when I look back over my progress and it kind of hit me because it was like, I knew I was doing these things. But when I stopped to go back and look over it, it was like, dang, every year I added something to, you know, added something or elevated. Every year I did something different. Every year I excelled. So, wow, I'm actually, you know, I'm not just saying I want to, you know, do this. I'm actually doing it. So I just kind of tell myself, like, your goals are tangible. You know, it does take hard work to get there. And I just kind of every day try to remind myself of that. Like, okay, soon you'll have that house. Soon you'll have that business to where, you know, you don't have to work so hard.
Yeah.
Try to give myself something forward to look forward to.
Yeah, I love that, especially like reaffirming yourself, like reaffirming your goals and what reminding yourself what you're doing it for, because it does make the grind a lot more bearable when you know why you're doing it instead of just doing it just to do it. It's like I guess that's the definition of insanity, just to do something and not know why you're doing it. I feel like that's the reason why we got into business, right? To kind of have that freedom to do what we want to do when we want to do it to a certain extent. So yeah, I want to talk, kind of transition into the branding side, because you've mentioned that, you know, your goal is kind of to, I'll put the word in your mouth, to scale, like to kind of remove yourself from like the day to day, like mainly like working smarter and hard, but not as, you know, not working as hard as you need to, like kind of letting the systems and the processing and hiring other people to do that. So about like, how did you come up with the name of your brand? Like what inspired that name? Because I love it personally. And I think it definitely speaks to who you are as a person and what you represent, but like, what was it about, that brand name that you, came upon it?
Yes. I think when I was trying to think of a name, I was just, you know, sometimes when you think about something too hard, you know, it's, you come up with you draw a blank. And so when I was trying to come up with the name, I don't know. I think I thought about, what do I like? You know, I'm all about, you know, help making people look their best. And I love those clients that challenge me, that, you know, they might give me a task that I've never done before, something extra, something different. And that's the stuff that I like. I like the challenging stuff. So I thought about, like, hey, you know, Bad and Bougie, you know. And I think actually, you know, I don't know if you know that about that popular Migos song at the time. Bad and Bougie, bad. So I thought, I just thought, like, hey, Bad and Bougie braiding, you know. And I was like, hey, I like it. And I went with it.
Yeah, I think it works too. Cause when I think back to like my teen years, just of like your mom, Dorothea, like Amira, like, and you, like, that's one of the words that like we would use, like in a playful manner, like, oh, you being bougie. Like,
bougie.
Yeah.
Cause bougie ain't always, I wanted people to see that bougie is not always like a bad thing. Like that was my thing. Like you can be bougie, but still like have that street mentality, or you know what I mean? Like it's not necessarily like, oh, she's bougie. Like, yeah, I like the finer things. I like the nicer things. And so, yeah, I welcome like my clients that you might like that hair that's, you know, longer colors or different things. So that's what I connected to when I came up with the name, like.
Made it a part of who, made it literally like a lifestyle. Literally, yeah. Like a lifestyle brand. I love that. Oh, I might have to, we might have to talk about some marketing plays if you trying to sell some merch, some t-shirts.
Man, I'm so down.
Women's apparel and all that.
I'm always ready to, you know, add things on. And, you know, that, I mean, this whole thing has been a learning process for me. Of course, like when I started it, it's literally like I was blinded. I'm like, okay, I know I want to do this, but how do I do this? There's not a handbook. I mean, there's Google, you know, that, you know, and then I feel like whenever you're wanting to do something now, a lot of people charge for knowledge or charge to help you. Like, and I can't knock a hustle, but, you know, some stuff is like, it's not going to hurt you to put somebody else on. Or if I say, hey, it's like somebody asks me like, hey, how do I go about getting my LLC? It doesn't hurt me to tell that person like the steps that I took to do it. Right. So for me, it was a lot of like ups and downs. Like I started learning and seeing like, hey, when you start like trying to do better, or people get nervous. People get nervous. They don't want to give you the gems that they know. They don't want to drop the knowledge. So I started like researching myself. Like I would get the free information where I could from people. And then anything else I didn't know, like I would research, like I would Google, I would ask around. And of course it was like plenty of nights where like I would be up on the computer late and I would be tired, or I would just come up to a dead end. And then, you know, sometimes like the information would just fall in my lap. So it's been a learning process. Like I literally, you know, taught myself like how to do the LLC and, you know, how to register with the state, like, you know, and not even just coming up with the LLC and a name, because it's, business is so much more than that.
Right.
You know, and I've learned by, you know, going through it myself, the process. People don't tell you that you actually work more when you become a business owner. You know, and yeah, it's like, yeah, I have a business name and an LLC. Okay. But then what do you do with that? Mm. You know, you have to marketing and advertising and word of mouth. So it's so much more that comes with any business. And I think for me, it was just like a really good learning experience, because it was like, hey, if somebody's not going to teach me, then I'm going to teach myself. I'm going to learn myself.
That's powerful, too. And it's interesting, too, because I'm trying to like hold interviews with other family members, too, because like when you look at our, you know, our generational tree, like, there, at least from my knowledge, I don't know of anybody in our family who really like owned their own business and like worked for themselves. Like we always had like hard workers, you know what I mean? Like it ain't nothing to us to grind, but like,
right,
as far as, you know, that next level of like that entrepreneurship and like generational wealth, like we're like our generation, like me, you, Amira, Corey, Shanae, like we're figuring it out on our own. And it's like sometimes the best way to figure things out is let me rephrase it. Sometimes being ignorant about something can actually play to your benefit, because if you are ignorant to it, then you can soak up all the information out there, and you're not going to like shun away like certain expertise because it's coming from a certain source. Whereas like, for example, like I'm knowledgeable about basketball. So like if I go to a basketball game and I see a certain basketball team playing, I'm like, ooh, you don't want to put your son on that team. I know why, because I know basketball. I know about the certain nuances. Whereas like somebody who's ignorant to basketball, they might just see a team and just put their kid on a team. While there might be pros and cons to it and they might luck up and find a good team, they're also going to be able to, they're also in a position to where they can ask other people and get their biased and unbiased opinions, but then they can also just see for themselves and make their own decision and just go forward themselves. And I feel like some people kind of let that stop them. They're like, hey, I'm new to it. Hey, I've never done it before. I've never seen anybody do it. So I'm just going to stop right here and wait for somebody to kind of hold my hand and walk through it.
Yeah.
I think ignorance is truly bliss. Like you said, a lot of stuff that you said, like, really rang true with me. Like, when I started my business, I didn't know anything about an LLC. Like, just recently, I got hip to an S Corp. I'm still trying to really decipher the difference between the two. But, you know, my tax person's like, hey, you save much money, more money on taxes if you do this. I'm like, well, why? Like, but again, like, being ignorant is not always a bad thing, because now you're in a position to where you can learn and you can excel. You're not just stuck in this little box. And I think it's important just for the listeners out there to, like, don't let your position where you're at stop you from where you want to go. Just start taking the steps, and along the process, like, people will come alongside of you and help you in that process.
Yeah, I think a lot of time too, people are afraid to not even fail. I think people are afraid to succeed. Like, it's, you know how you always hear people say, like, oh, if you don't try, you might fail. And a lot of people are afraid to fail. But it's weird for me. I wasn't afraid to fail. I think I was afraid to succeed. And I don't know if that makes sense. But what I mean by that is, for instance, like, when I started seeing, like, my business taking off, and, like, I would get really excited. Like, for instance, like, I put myself on Google. Mm. I don't even remember how I came about that or how I even knew to do that. But what I noticed is how I separated. I heard there's this inspirational speaker, and I can't think of his name, but he said something that resonated with me. He said, I'm not the best. He said, I'm a beast. I work hard. I'm not even better than them. I work harder than them. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I noticed I started, like, how can I separate myself from everybody else? Because there's a million braiders, there's a million salons, there's a million people that do, you know, what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, so outside of, you know, referral, how do I, like, advertise, or how do I get myself out there? And I started thinking of different ways, things that other people weren't doing. So, like, if I went on Google and I Google, I'm one of the first and one, like, pretty much one of the only hair that pops up.
Mm.
And then I thought about it, like, is so many, like, stylists that I know that I look up to, and their names ring way more bells than my name. But if you Google them, they're not on Google.
Mm.
So guess what? When we getting all these out of town people are visiting or moving in, they're calling my phone because I'm the only one that showed up when they Google a hairstylist. So that brought in a whole new different clientele and, you know, just doing different things. But I think I was afraid to succeed because I started to see that things were working and things were going good. And it was like, okay, things are going good, but what if it doesn't? Because if I take this next step, maybe it might go good. Maybe it wasn't. So I'm always my own worst. And so, yeah, I think after I always have to kind of tell myself, like, you know, don't be afraid, like, just take that chance. You know what? It might not go as planned. That doesn't necessarily mean I failed. You know, I think when you're doing something you love or you're doing something positive, you can't really beat yourself up too much. Like, okay, it didn't go as planned. Okay, well, let me see what I did wrong, recuperate and do it again. So I really feel like fear of succeeding is stronger than my fear of failing.
As they call it, self-sabotaging. It's like, man, it's and that also that bring, we won't get into it in this episode, but that's like it's an internal conflict, an internal dialogue that we all have to
I can't hear you. Sorry. You got to speak up.
Okay. No, I was saying that fear of success thing, it's like an internal conflict that we have to have. It's an internal conflict that we have with ourselves. It's almost like we want to be successful, but we're almost scared. we'll, I'll put it like this. We have an identity about ourselves, and by us accomplishing a certain amount of success, somewhere deep down, don't know where the belief comes from. Again, this is, I'm speaking transparently, like, somewhere deep down, you're like, oh, okay, like, I can't identify with this successful person because that's not who I identify with. For example, like, I identify myself as basketball. I don't identify myself as a podcast host. I don't identify as a entrepreneur. So when you start to take steps in that direction, it's like, oh, okay, this is going against who I believe I am. In a previous, for the listeners out there, in a previous episode, I lost my train of thought. It lost me. We were talking about recreation, the recreating self, and how, like, if you don't recreate yourself, meaning like those beliefs that you have about yourself, you'll subconsciously stay in the same place that you are. But like, as you're recreating yourself, like you're talking about, like, stop playing defense on yourself, basically, like, relinquish that success and just recreate yourself, then like the fear of success kind of dies away because you're becoming a new person and you understand that, hey, this new person has a new belief system, has a new income bracket, has a new terminology, has a new, you know, value system, and so on and so forth. So like, I think the recreation process is how we kind of like avoid or at least lessen the blows of those internal conflicts that we have.
Hey, have you ever wondered what it's like to train like a world-class athlete? Look no further. The Masters app is here for you. All right, what it does is there's world-class athletes like Caleb Dressel, who's a swimmer. All right, Nick Von Ruff, who's a surfer. We got Sean White, who's a snowboarder. Asia Wilson, WNBA player. Bam Adebayo, NBA players. Players like that, okay? These world-class athletes become your personal trainers. Okay, with the Masters app, they offer unique training programs that are four-week fitness and mind programs. All right, so you'll get all of these programs with video tutorials on how to complete the exercises, all right, and the athletes demonstrating the exercises for you for a small upfront cost of $12.50 a month. I mean, we're talking 50 cents a day here to train with world-class athletes. All right, click the link in the show notes to get started.
We're getting close to time. So if there's one thing you had to tell to like your teenage self or your young adult self, your 17, 18, 19-year-old Naisha, you just walking in a park and you see young Naisha walking and you're like, hey, let me tell you something real quick, young blood. What would you tell yourself?
What would I tell myself? I probably would tell myself to, I guess if I knew what I just knew now about, you know, just life, start early. I feel like when you start early on whatever it is, whether it's, you know, you want to play basketball, you want to start a business, just to start early. And not saying if you start later in life, it's, you know, it's a bad thing. But I feel like you do get a leg up if you get a head start. You know what I mean? Yeah. I see a lot of younger people are coming into like the entrepreneurship thing. I would just say start early, you know, gives you time to kind of like learn, grow more, and then appreciate the process. You know what I mean? And over time, as you get older, I feel like once you get to a certain age, you're a bit, you know, you'll be kind of a little bit more established. But I'll say this. I don't feel like your age or your limit hinders anything, but I would definitely say start early. Don't be afraid. Don't necessarily, and don't listen to, you know, all the naysayers. You know, if I listen to people that told me that, hey, this might be risky, think about it twice, I probably wouldn't be doing as good. So learning to be my own support system and believing in myself, that's definitely.
Amen. Well, Naisha, I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to hop on the podcast. If somebody wanted to get their hair braided by you, let's say they coming on a trip to Cincinnati and they trying to come link with you, or maybe they trying to fly you out because they heard that you dope with the hair skills, where can they get in touch with you at?
So on Facebook and Instagram, my handle, it's Bad and Bougie Braiding. And Bougie is spelled B-O-U. G-I-E. I'm also, so if they Google me, there's all my information, address, phone number. So, yeah.
All right, dope, dope, dope. Well, again, I appreciate you hopping on the podcast. This is the first time we chopped it up in a minute.
I know, right? I appreciate you having me on.
For sure. I'm going to be in the city in April, so I'll be planning to stop by and see the kiddos.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to link on that idea you were talking about the merch. I'm down. Got to talk some more about that.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm definitely interested in starting some type of like apparel brand. And I love that Bad and Bougie just branding statement thing. Like, I feel like it really caters to like the young Black audience, especially in a time where being Black is, I don't want to say it's challenging, because it's been way more challenging in previous, you know, years in the 1900s, 1800s, but Black identity, you know what I mean? I feel like it's important as far as getting some type of branding and we'll just say products for, like, specifically for the Black community. But we'll be in touch for sure.
All right, then. All right. Thanks.
Yep, you're welcome. Well, thank you. But all right, then. Peace. Okay. Yo, thank you for listening to the Beast Podcast. We hope that you learned something and are empowered and inspired to be a better version of yourself. Please go ahead and subscribe, like, share it with a friend, a family member, or anybody who can get some value from it. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast. All right, y'all. Be great.